Welcome back to my YouTube channel, Out of Bounds. We are back with another video, and this time we are back touching the NBA as I'm joined with my good friend Abdus. What are we doing, Jose?
What's good, bro? Good to be on here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I said how we saying, I should ask how you doing, but anyways, as you can see, Sixers fan. Wait, how long have you been watching the NBA for, Alex?
Locked in, I was probably locked in from like 2016, like that Cavs Warriors finals after that comeback. That's when I was like, yeah, this is something that I need to start watching regularly. And before that, probably here and there, but probably locked in since 2016.
Now that's quite similar. I remember back in the, because obviously everyone like in London or England watches football anyways, but you always hear about like LeBron there, Kobe this and whatnot. But for some reason, around 2016, 2017, you just start to see not bare people, but a lot more people start tuning into it even more, especially with the whole Cavs Golden State rivalry as well. And then, you know, when Westbrook won MVP, that really drew in a lot of as well. But as I said, you're a Sixers fan. What made you start supporting the Sixers?
So obviously 2016, watched the finals and them kind of things there. I was like, all right, cool, this sport is for me. Let me just try and find a team. So I was looking at teams and players and stuff like that. As you mentioned, I came across Russell Westbrook. I was like, yeah, this guy looks exciting, but I don't know if it's quite for me. And then I heard the Sixers were doing this thing whereby they're trusting the process. So obviously they're acquiring young talent, trying to build a team that can contend. And I was like, you know what? I don't even want to be a bandwagoner. Let me just follow this team and see if they can like live up to the process and see how they acquire these young talent. And obviously see how they develop and become like a championship roster. And obviously at the time, they already had Embiid, who was like a dominant big, seeing back to the basket, always talking trash. So I was like, yeah, I like a player like this. I need a player like this to root for. So since then, I've just been like, yeah, the Sixers is the team for me, man.
No, it's actually kind of, because remember those times when I'm like, obviously the Sixers used to stink. And they just keep on getting lottery pick, and then they got like Marcus Fultz, Ben Simmons, and then they got Embiid. So as you've been on this journey, trusting the process, how do you think it's been going for you so far?
I ain't gonna lie, it's been up and down, man. It's been up and down. Like it's been disappointment and excitement. Like it's been all sorts of emotions, man. Yeah. But the pinnacle of like the emotional roller coaster was probably that Raptors series when Kawhi hit that dagger.
That broke me, man.
That broke, especially seeing Embiid in tears. I was like, this is rough.
Crazy. When you think of the players that you guys had that time, Jimmy Buckets, Ben Simmons, JJ Redick, as you mentioned, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris. I mean, you literally had like 4 18-point-plus scorers a game, and so like Ben Simmons was giving you 18, Jimmy Buckets was giving you 20, Tobias Harris giving you 20, because he got traded from the Clippers that year, I remember, giving you 20 as well, and then Embiid is doing what he's doing, and then you guys had a good bench and stuff, so it was actually a very good series. But with all that being said, we're now in the presence, and the Sixers are second in the East, which I think is quite good considering how the start of the season was going. I mean, Boston looked to be running away with it, and the Bucks as well. How do you feel about the way your season has been going so far?
Yeah, I mean, it started off poorly. We started off 0-3. Then obviously the way the Sixers fan base is reactionary, everyone was wanting Doc Rivers' head to be gone.
Yeah.
But since then, obviously, we've dealt with injuries, as a lot of teams have dealt with over this past season. Maxey fractured his foot, and Embiid missed some time. Harden has also missed some time. So it's only now we're at the point where everyone, all the starters and our roster's becoming healthy. And that's culminated right now, currently in a 6-game win streak, which is the longest active win streak in the NBA right now. We just went on a West Coast road trip, went 5-0. Beat the Jazz, Lakers, Clippers, Blazers, and the Kings. So that was definitely a dominant display out West. And yeah, we've been balling out, man. We've been balling out. We're just quietly just shooting up the rankings. Obviously, a lot of hype has been around the Boston Celtics and things like that. But from a Sixers perspective, I mean, what more can we ask for? Embiid's performing at MVP level again. Harden's right now balling out. Obviously, he doesn't qualify right now because he hasn't played enough games, but he's leading the league in assists. He's averaging 22, 16, 11. So Yeah, man. Everything is good right now as a Sixers fan.
So there was something you just touched on because I think you mentioned, as you mentioned, everything is going good for you. But in the regular season, everything has always been going good for the Sixers. It's up until they reach the postseason. And it's crazy because with the amount of talent they've had, they have never actually gone past the conference semis. I mean, as we talked about the Toronto series, you look at the what started at the beginning of the end for Simmons with the Hawks series. They've been whooped by Celtics a couple times, I believe. And a few else what have they been whooped by? And I
Lost to
think,
the Heat last year.
yeah, I lost. You guys lost to the Heat.
Yeah, we lost to the Heat in six in the conference semis.
Oh yeah. I
Yeah.
remember, I remember. So I mean, it's just been like failure after failure after failure, and really, and I won't even lie to you. I think up until last season, every single season, whenever they asked me who am I picking to come out there East, it was always Sixers, Sixers, Sixers. But you know what? I mean, you know what they call insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for different results. So I said, you know what? I said, no, I'm jumping off this Sixers bandwagon. But with what you've seen this season, how confident are you it's going to translate into the postseason?
Yeah, now as you touched on, we've been through failure after failure. We haven't made a conference final since AI was there in 01. And to put that into perspective, the Kings, who haven't made a playoffs in 16 years, have been to a conference finals more recently than the Sixers. So, yeah, I mean, we just need to get over that hump. We've been through setback after setback. But this season, I think, is something new. I mean, we brought in guys like PJ Tucker. We've addressed some issues because, especially perimeter defense and toughness. Brought in De'Anthony Melton, who's been balling out. He's currently usurped Maxey into the starting five, and obviously deservedly so because he offers that toughness and perimeter defense that we very much need. And yeah, I think our roster more we have more depth. I mean, guys like Matisse Thybulle, who made our all defense team not too long ago, he's barely getting rotational minutes. We was running guys before like Furkan Korkmaz, who couldn't defend anybody. I mean, like, we've got depth now. I mean, Paul Reed's barely getting any minutes. Daniel House, we brought in, who's another 3-and-D guy who barely gets minutes. So, yeah, in terms of depth, that's something that we've addressed this season. And also, another reason why I think Joel Embiid and James Harden have started to develop that chemistry. Obviously, last year, the trade was in the middle of the season. Harden only got to play 21 regular season games. So now you see the two-man game, the pick-and-roll game. I mean, it's one of the most effective two-man combos in the NBA. So they're developing that chemistry, which is going to help us in the playoffs. So all these reasons is why I feel confident that the Sixers will get over that hump and be championship contenders, especially out east.
So before I just touch on that championship contender part, because you mentioned something about with James Harden, I'm only playing 21 games last season, but the kind of season he had, especially in the postseason for me last season, was beyond chemistry. I mean, he seemed like someone that was scared to shoot or whatever it was, because I don't know if the pressure was too much. But when you look at the franchises that he played for the Rockets and he went to the Nets and he went to the Sixers. Not that, oh no, the lights in Sixers are not as big as the lights in LA or Garden or whatever, but it's probably the most hostile environment in terms of if you don't perform, they boo you. He's been in his whole career, if you get what I mean. Do you think he'll be able to go back to the old James, not even go back to the old James Harden, but still perform at you know Max Kellerman when he used to use the four as an all-star, five as an MVP kind of thing? Do you think he can be like a 4.5 kind of player in the playoffs, come playoff time?
MVP caliber player, I don't think so. But that's not what we need from him right now because we already have an MVP caliber player in Joel Embiid. We just need him. So last year, I felt like, especially in the Raptors series, he was trying to accommodate Embiid too much. He wasn't trying to take the scruff of the game, especially when he needed him down the stretch. Because especially against a Raptors team who Joel Embiid has had a lot of struggles against with their length and their size. On the perimeter, you want James Harden to take that onus off him and take those big shots sometimes, especially down the stretch. So I felt like he was too accommodating to Joel Embiid. And obviously, in the Heat series, Embiid missed the first two games with an orbital fracture and he had a wrist injury as well. So yeah, all those reasons was obviously Harden played bad as well, but it's one of those things whereby he was missing Embiid for the first two games in that Heat series as well. So one of the reasons why I think that he's gonna come good is obviously health. Wise is a big issue as well. We need both of our stars to be healthy, and another reason is we just need them to be able to take the pressure off Joel Embiid when it's not going well for him, or when obviously opposition are sending a double or sending traps at him and things like that. We just need them to be able to hit them big shots and to not shy away from the moment. So I don't expect him to be averaging 30 or anything crazy like that, but 23 to 25 on decent efficiency, if he's dishing out 10 dimes a game as well, that's the level that we need James Harden to be at.
Yeah. No, I think everything he said is fair. And as I said, I don't think he'll ever go back to where he starts scoring 50, 60, whatever. But I do think he is still performing at an all-star level at the very least. Like, so he will be an all-star this year. I think he's giving you 22 and 10 at the moment. Yeah. And if you can give, because the thing is that even last season, I think it was, even at one point, it came a shock when he scored 20 points in the playoffs, because you're like, what is this guy doing? Like, he wouldn't shoot. And even when he was shooting, he was just bricking it. The step back three wasn't going for him. But all that being said, I do think there is another deciding factor for the Sixers, and I think it's Doc Rivers. How confident are you in him he will make the right decision? I remember sometimes during the playoffs where he would play the whole second unit for a period of time, and those seem to be costing the Sixers point. Whereas in, you see other teams that when they do have two stars, is like, for example, Bron and AD. LeBron could come up before AD. AD runs it a bit. They maybe take both of them out for like maybe 1 minute and you bring them back in and stuff like that. And he's been the manager that has blown the most 3-1 leads in NBA history, if I'm correct. So how confident are you in him that he will make the right decisions and put things in a position to actually do well in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, so this is the thing with Doc Rivers. Obviously, he's come under a lot of criticisms. As you mentioned, he's blown the most 3-1 leads in NBA history. Yeah. As a head coach, but it comes to the point whereby there's only so much you can do. Like, he's not on the floor, he's not the one that's taking them shots and things like that, so the players have to be accountable as well. But obviously, as you mentioned as well, his bench his all bench lineups and things like that, and some of his rotations really do frustrate me as a Sixers fan and the fan base in general, because you do want, as you mentioned, with like Bron and AD and staggering lineups and things like that. This is what you want to see, because there's no reason why either Embiid or Harden can't be on the floor at all times, especially in a playoff game. And that's what you want to see. You don't want to see you going for 9-10-man rotations in the playoffs. It has to be a tight rotation, 8-man rotation, 9 max. But you want your star players to be on the floor the most, to play the majority of games in the playoffs. But that being said, this season he has shown to make some adjustments. So as I mentioned earlier, Tyrese Maxey is currently coming off the bench for the Sixers, something that I wouldn't have imagined to see given how he's performed and how he's proven that he can be one of the young stars in the league today. But yeah, he's gone with De'Anthony Melton, who offers more defensively and he has more grit to his game in terms of perimeter defense and just being a nuisance on the floor. So yeah, Maxey's coming off the bench. He's given us that offensive spark off the bench, which we've been lacking in for a number of years. For example, last night in that dub against the Nets, he dropped 27 off the bench. But it's a thing whereby Doc Rivers has mentioned that this is the lineup we're going to be running for the meantime. And he mentioned that there's three potential starting lineups which the Sixers are going to be using going forward. So it's the one with the Harden, Maxey, Harris, Tucker and Embiid. There's the one that we're running right now with Harden, Melton, Harris, Tucker and Embiid. And there's another one with your three guards. So you've got your Melton, Harden, Maxey, Harris and Embiid, with Tucker going to the bench. So those are the three lineups which he said he's going to be running. And it's just interesting to see how this does develop. As we're seeing right now, you're seeing the fruits of this lineup, because obviously current 6-game winning streak and things like that. And the bench really has that offensive spark which the Sixers need, which we've been lacking in years. So Doc Rivers being able to show he's capable of making adjustments is the potential light that we see at the end of the tunnel of him leaving his stubborn ways and things like that. So we just wait and see how it goes in the playoffs.
Okay. So I don't know if it's lastly, but just a couple of last things on the Sixers. So earlier you mentioned that you feel like this is the year that Sixers can get over the hump. What is over the hump for you? Is that conference finals, finals, or championship?
I believe over the hump has to be a championship. I mean, when you've got an MVP, when you've got someone who's performing at a level that we haven't seen in years, you talk about all-time greats like Hakeem and Shaq and things like that, scoring title last year. When you've got that sort of generational talent on your roster, there's no way you can be happy with just making a conference finals. Like, you have to go and win the championship. And Bede's been playing at MVP level for 3 years now. Daryl Morey, the GM, has made moves to try and facilitate this team. I mean, we brought in Harden, Trey Simmons, we brought in all these players. So the time is now for the Sixers to win the championship. So when I say over the hump, I mean we have to go and win the championship for the first time since like 1983. Like, it's been too long.
Dr. J times.
Yeah, exactly.
So if your expectations are champion, so basically championship or bust for you, who do you think will be the biggest threat to the Sixers winning the championship this year?
Well, out east, obviously, it starts with the Boston Celtics. I mean, you look at their run to the finals last year, you look at what Jason Tatum was able to do at just 24 years old, take his team to the finals. We don't see a lot of players at that age reach those heights to, you know, take their team to the championship like that. But yeah, it starts with the Boston Celtics. I mean, obviously, personally, after the Ime Udoka madness, I would have thought they would take. I would have thought they'll take like a they'll drop a notch or or they'll be like that distraction behind the scenes and things like that. But they haven't skipped a beat. I mean, obviously, you got to shout out Joe Mazzulla for what he's been doing. I mean, they've been top of the Eastern Conference for most of the season, if not all of the season. So it starts with the Boston Celtics. And it's the fact that, as much as it pains me to say, they've owned us previously in the playoffs. I mean, they swept us in the bubble. They've beaten us a couple years before that. So that's definitely one of the humps that we have to go over if we want to win a championship this year.
Do you play the Bucks?
Right now, yeah. I mean, the Bucks, they've been good so far. I mean, Giannis is probably one of the most underrated players in the league at this point, because everyone's talking about Jokic. This guy's averaging 31, 12, and 5. And no one's saying anything. And this is without Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's only played 9 games this season, and he's averaging 11 points on 33% shooting. So there's not a lot of guys who are missing their
star. And Portis is back injured again, I think.
Exactly. So, like, I can't overlook the Bucks. So, for me, it's the Bucks and the Celtics. It's the Celtics and the Bucks and everyone else. But for the Sixers, it's the Celtics and the Bucks. Definitely the two teams that I fear most.
Okay, and just lastly, is Embiid your MVP favorite as of right now?
MVP favorite. You see, the thing with MVP right now, it's a political thing, man. Like, we don't have that political juice. We just want to go on who. But the voters, they don't respect us, man. Because what more can we do? What, we finished second in MVP voting. Go on, Rich.
So the funny thing is that, so the first one, when Jokic won it, because Jokic beat him to twice. I think the first one, I think it was fair, because really and truly, I do think until LeBron got injured, he was a front runner. And then Embiid was then a front runner, then he got injured, and Jokic was the one that played the most games and whatnot. So it was fair that Jokic won the first time. The one last season, now, if you was to ask me, I do think Embiid was favourite to win it. But it was never one-sided to the point where I thought, you know what, Embiid never had a say. Like, if anybody would have given it to, I think it would have been respectable picks. But then the way I saw people speak about it, especially coming from like Sixers side, is like, it's a robbery. Tell him it's a robbery. Yeah. Is that how you felt with that last season MVP?
100%, man. 100%. Because when Jokic won it the first year, there was like, oh, number one seed, best team in these conference, this and that. And the Sixers weren't those guys at that point. Obviously, it was disappointing, but I was like, all right, cool, we get it. So you had the narrative. Then last year now, they were talking about how, oh, you missed Jamal Murray, you missed Michael Porter Jr., all these guys. I was thinking, but hold on.
What does that have to do with me?
Joel Embiid's second best player quit on the team, and he still managed to power his team into a respectable seeding in the playoffs. So it's like, and he averaged the most points, won the scoring title, something that hasn't been achieved by a center since Shaquille O'Neal. So it's like, what more do you want from him? What more? Like, the narrative was there. And also with Jokic, I'll be real, like, Man was a 6 seed winning MVPs. Like, I know Russell Westbrook won an MVP as a 6 seed, but and obviously he averaged a triple double and he had the narrative. But for me personally, 6 seed shouldn't be winning MVPs. You have to at least have home court advantage in the playoffs to win an MVP. He was starting with the play-in. He almost didn't make the playoffs. So it's like, how can we be rewarding that when there's guys who's top in their conferences, there's guys who are finishing top three, there's guys who are playing on both ends? So I just thought that it was just, it's just a whole narrative thing and it's like politics and stuff like that. So in terms of MVP, as much as it pains me to say I think that ship has sailed with Joel Embiid, I don't think, like, last year was the year for us to win MVP and we couldn't do it then. So I don't really see how we're going to do it now when Jokic is still doing what he's doing and you've got guys like Luka and guys like that.
I made a TikTok about this earlier and I felt like this was the more, because normally in MVP races you could say, okay, you know what, these are the top three that are definitely going for it. But I felt like this year there was a bunch of guys that you could pick. You could have picked KD before he went down. You could pick Jason Tatum. You could pick Luka Doncic. You could pick Jokic. You can pick Giannis. And you can pick Embiid. So for me, it's like it's every single week. It's never changing for me because I can never decide 1 week and then something else happens the next week and stuff to say. But as you said, you felt like the ship has now sailed for Embiid. So who do you think is favorite, or who do you think has maybe the best narrative for behind him to actually go and win the MVP this year?
I'll be real, the things that Jokic is doing again this season, I mean, if that guy averages a triple double, then currently they're top in the West. I mean, it's the voters have a decision to make, because for someone to three-peat MVP, it's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. Only like Bird and guys like that have done that. So
MJ and LeBron were even doing this, even though you could argue he could have won the 2011 one. But the only thing is that I just don't think they'll give it to Jokic, because you know how you have like forces fatigue, and I'm telling you, three-peating MVP is not anything you can just sweep under the rug. Like, I feel like you have to be clear for them to actually give you the third one, and that's why I don't think they're gonna give it to him. So, but I mean, it would be, I don't know, three-peat and MVP is something that's a bit like they never, like, you only be one behind LeBron, you have two more than Kobe and Shaq. Like, let's just think about it. So I don't, if he wins MVP and the Lakers can't win the championship, then I would want Denver Nuggets to go and win it just to validate that MVP, because I'm sorry, someone can't three-peat MVP and then you get knocked out of the conference semis. Like, it wouldn't be good for the league, and the people will start changing criteria all over again and whatnot. But switching over to the East, my Lakers, as you know, currently, I don't think we're as bad as our record says it is, but we are where we are. But the positive thing to look forward to is LeBron is closing in on beating Kareem's record. And if I'm correct, he can do it in like as little as 6 games from now. Like, the countdown is really on. And this is a record that has stood for over 40 years, if I'm correct. Like, even Kareem is feeling the pressure, because he even started hating LeBron sometime last year, talking about what a role should be like and all that kind of stuff. And the accomplishment is really a testament to how long he's been in the league, year 2038, and he's still averaging 30 points. Now, I think he's the greatest player of all time, whatever. But what do you think this record, when he does accomplish it, because never an if anymore, it's when he now does it, what do you think it would do for his legacy?
I mean, to think about it, it's even crazy. Like, all-time leading scorer is only like, what, 158 points away. Like, it's just insane, man. And even when you think about LeBron, like, no one will think about him as a scorer like that. You think of him as like an all-round sort of player.
Yeah.
Because even like with his assists and things like that, so in terms of his legacy, I mean, LeBron's legacy is set. We already know he's one of the greatest ever. But I just feel like the day he does break that record, you know what's going to happen. These talking heads are going to talk. They're going to be like, this now make him the greatest of all time. And I don't really want to get into all that, but definitely we already know he's one of the greatest. But it's like, it's just insane. I mean, a record that stood since before he was even born. It's just crazy. And it's like, I think that that's one of the records where I don't think it's ever going to be broken. I don't think that record is ever going to be broken. Especially, obviously, this is another subject when you talk about the NBA potentially wanting to like shorten the season and things like that. But in terms of what he's been able to do, especially at age 38, I mean, the other night against the Clippers, he dropped like 46 points and hit 9 threes like at 38. No one has been doing this at this age ever in NBA history. Like, it's crazy what he's been able to do. And I'm making sure that I don't ever take that for granted. Like that game that he breaks, yeah, I might call in sick that day. I'm making sure I'm locked in. I'm watching every possession of every single dribble live. Because think about it, like it's gonna be a crazy, crazy occasion. Especially with, I don't know if you heard what they're saying about he might try and break it with a skyhook.
He's been practicing those skyhooks pre-game as well, funny enough. Like, he's just always there, like, and you're just thinking, like, no, but because obviously, as you said, because really and truly, I think this record isn't really even about. Obviously, I do think it takes his legacy even to another level to be the all time. Because, I mean, when you talk about all time or something, is push you in a different category. Because, really and truly, not to sound disrespectful or anything, but the only reason why John Stockton still gets some love to this day is because he's the leading all-time in steals and assists. If he was second, I do not think people would speak about him in the light that they do. Like, when they start trying to put him above point guards like Steve Nash and whatever, blah, blah, blah. If he was just second, he wouldn't be in those conversations. But, as I said, they are really incredible achievements. Do you ever think somebody, because as you said, you never think that record would be broken, but even what he's just doing like in year 20 at 38 years of age, do you think there'll ever be another player that will be able to still perform at the same level as he is in the year 20 or when they are 38, 39 years of age?
This level, I don't think so, but probably similar to this level, I'd say yeah. But in terms of breaking that record, I don't think no one's going to break that record. But I think eventually we'll see someone in like at age 38, probably put average at what, 25, 5 and 5 or something like that, or something similar. Because obviously you talk about like the advancement of like sports medicine and stuff like that, and obviously players trying to like take more care of their body and things like that. So potentially, yeah, you'll see someone at age 38 falling out and doing averaging a crazy number of points. But at this level, I don't think so. And in terms of breaking the record, I don't think so. But yeah, I think down the line, we'll probably see guys that will be averaging like 25 plus, age 38 or something along those lines.
Yeah. And just lastly, I just want to touch on this a bit, because obviously you've spoken about the East and whatnot with like the Sixers and who your biggest challenges are. But we just have to, what do you think of the defending champions this season so far?
Warriors. It's been a rocky season for them. I mean, even before the season started, you think about the Draymond Green,
the punch,
and Jordan Poole situation. I mean, it's been rough, and obviously Steph Curry missing time as well. But to be fair, they did manage to like hold down the fort while Steph was out. Because I mean, that team, if Steph's not going nuclear, I mean, then real trouble. I mean, Jordan Poole hasn't made that jump that you would expect someone to make, especially him securing that bag, getting that contract extension. Klay Thompson as well, he's been very up and down in terms of the playoffs in a 7-game series. I don't know if I can expect him to perform at Klay Thompson levels throughout a 7-game series. Draymond Green, I think he's regressed. He's even come out and said it himself. His defense hasn't been of the standard that is expected of him when you talk about a generational type defender that he is. And even like the young guys, I think the bench, like you talk about the experience that they had last year with your Gary Paytons and even Bielitsa coming off the bench and guys like that.
Like Golden State can't say Wiseman now.
Yeah, like it's crazy, man. He really hasn't hit those levels that you would expect over what, number three? Where did he get in that drop? Number three, right?
Yeah, it was, what's his name? So, I think LaMelo went first, then it was Anthony, then it was Wiseman.
Oh, yeah, when Edwards, LaMelo, Wiseman. He's not performing what you'd expect from a number three overall pick. So, obviously it's the Warriors at the end of the day, but there's only so long you can go by saying it's the Warriors, because there's some hungry teams in the Western Conference that are
100%, 100%.
So you look at the Grizzlies and them guys.
Well, I'm not counting the Grizzlies, because Golden State will whoop in the Grizzlies every time they meet up. But if you want to, so if you want to put a percentage on it, what percent would you give with the Warriors coming out of the West?
Coming out of the West? I feel like the West is so open, man. But yeah, there's still there's a lot of young teams there. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies, like the Kings are the three seed. And I mean, they barely have any playoff experience. So the Warriors are always in with a chance, man. But percent? I'll give them over 50%. I'll probably give them like 65% chance to come out conference, because at the end of the day, they have that championship experience. They have that championship DNA. And you know, Steph Curry being one of the greatest to ever do it, he's gonna turn up when the lights are brightest. And obviously Steve Kerr, and you've got that crazy fan base down there in the Bay. So yeah, I'll give them greater than 50% chance, but man, there's a lot of teams out west that are hungry, that are looking to dethrone them.
No, 100%. No, I think you're right. I mean, there's only so many times you can just say, and I don't think a team, because if I'm correct, they're like the sixth seed at the moment or around there. And I think
they're the eighth seed, right? And they're literally 500. 24,
yeah, so 24. No team has been in that position and have gone on to win a championship. But then, as you mentioned, it's just so wide open. Like, you win one game and you jump up to the fifth seed, you lose one game and you're out of the plane. So it's just been up and down. But yeah, we'll just see how the season plays out with Golden State and the Lakers and whoever else they've got in the West and whatnot. But no, massive thank you for jumping on. I really enjoyed the insight with the Sixers and all that kind of stuff. Have you got anything that you want to promote, shout out?
No, shout out Rich for having me on. Obviously it's good to talk about my Sixers, especially with us doing well, man. So you caught me at the right time, because I'm losing streaks. I don't know, man. Be honest, let me not lie.
If they get bounced in the second round, hear from me again.
Yeah, hear from me at all, bro.
Yeah.
Airplay mode, bro.
No.
Thanks for having me on, man.
What about your, like, you must have just put out your social, because I know you do like Clutch News Media as well and stuff like that. So I mean, if I can find it, I'll put the link to all your stuff in the description as well. Just give everything a listen. Some good stuff is going on over there. But once again, I appreciate you for jumping on. Follow me on all my social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, outbounds_UK. Like, share, subscribe, all the good stuff. And until next time.